Let's turn again to the part of God's Word that we read together in the Gospel according to Mark chapter 10, and we will read at verse 15. Mark chapter 10, verse 15. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. At this time, the Lord Jesus was showing his willingness to receive little children. The parents of these children desired Jesus to bless them. Of course, as you know, the disciples hindered them. They probably thought that these little children would only trouble the master. They were looking out for him, as they thought. But Jesus was displeased with that, and he told the disciples, "Let the little children come unto me. Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." The kingdom of God includes little children. And in fact, Jesus teaches us that we ought to be like little children when it comes to receiving the kingdom of God. As someone has put it, we must not expect children to be like grown-ups in order to enter into the kingdom. Instead, grown-ups should be like little children. And this is what we desire to consider this Sabbath morning. And that is, how do we become like little children in receiving the kingdom of God? What is the kingdom of God? How do we receive it? And how are we like children in receiving the kingdom of God so that we might enter into it? We also will consider and ask, what is the danger of not receiving the kingdom of God as a little child? Because Jesus teaches us that unless we become like little children, then we shall not, he's very emphatic, he's very firm, we shall not enter into it. So we have, with the Lord's help this morning, to consider first the receiving of the kingdom of God. Secondly, the need of the childlike spirit in order to enter into the kingdom of God. And thirdly, the warning of not entering into the kingdom of God, the danger of not having the childlike spirit and so failing to enter into the kingdom of God. How essential it is that we become like little children in order to receive the kingdom of God, to receive the kingdom of God as a little child receives it, in total dependence upon God, as a child is totally dependent upon his or her parents. We must be completely dependent upon God manifesting himself in Christ in order to receive the kingdom of God. The receiving of the kingdom of God, first of all, and then the need of the childlike spirit in order to enter the kingdom, and thirdly, the warning of not entering into the kingdom of God. First, the receiving of the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? And then, what does it mean to receive the kingdom of God? Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. Well, when you think of a kingdom, you have to first of all think of the king. There is no kingdom really without a king. You start with the king. You think about what a king is, what a king does. A king has power. A king has rule and authority. And of course, he must have a kingdom to rule over. And that kingdom is his subjects, his domain, his realm, the land, the nation over which he reigns, his whole kingdom, subjects, and realm. And very much so we consider the subjects of the king and their duty to obey the king. So you think of the king and the kingdom. And the kingdom of God, it has to do with the rule of Christ over his people, He's the king. They are his people. His people obey the king. So we can define the kingdom of God in this way, that the kingdom of God is the rule of Christ in the hearts and lives of his people. The rule of Christ in the hearts and lives of his people. That's the kingdom of God, because Christ is God's king. God has appointed Christ to be his king in Zion over his people. So we think of the rule of Christ. Christ is the king of his people. He is their Lord and master. And he has given them laws to obey. It is his authority that they submit to. It is his rule that they follow, and no other rule is given to us than Christ's own authority revealed in the Word of God for faith and practice, what we are to believe and what we are to do. That is revealed in the Holy Scriptures. So it's the rule of Christ. The kingdom of God is the rule of Christ in the hearts and lives of his people. But also the kingdom of God includes the special privileges of his people. Yes, the people of Christ, those who truly believe in him, they have rights and immunities that others don't. All their sin has been forgiven. They are not under the curse. They have the gifts of his grace, and they are heirs of the kingdom. As Jesus said, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." So the kingdom of Christ includes the blessings of the kingdom. The kingdom of God includes the benefits of salvation, and that includes wonderful, wonderful blessings. Have you received them? It includes the blessing of justification, having our sins forgiven, being accepted into the favor of God, being accepted as righteous in the sight of God because of Christ's righteousness imputed to us. Another blessing of the kingdom is adoption, so that we do not have Jesus as only our king, but also as our spiritual father. He is the everlasting father, and he is the shepherd of his people, and God is the father of his children. It's a wonderful privilege to be received into the number and have a right to all the privileges of the sons of God. And that includes being pitied and being cared for, being protected and provided for, as children are provided for by their parents. So the Lord Jesus is their head and Savior. They are justified and adopted in Christ, and all his subjects, those who trust in Christ, are sanctified. That's another privilege and blessing of the kingdom. The Lord Jesus Christ is their king, and he performs all the kingly offices towards his people, subduing his people to himself, so that they are no longer rebels, but they become his loyal subjects. He rules and defends them, and he restrains and conquers all his and their enemies. The blessings of the kingdom, they include other graces as well, as love and peace and joy. If you're in the kingdom of God, if you haven't experienced these graces fully, the Word of God tells you light is sown for the righteous and gladness for the upright in heart. We're to pray for these graces. As the Catechism puts it, the benefits which in this life do accompany or flow from justification, adoption, and sanctification are assurance of God's love and peace of conscience, joy in the Holy Ghost, increase of grace, and perseverance therein to the end. These are the blessings of the kingdom. Do we value them? Do we desire these blessings for ourselves? Are we praying that we would enjoy them? The Lord Jesus Christ is the King, and he has these blessings to dispense and to bestow and to give to us. Do we desire to be in the kingdom? What is the receiving of the kingdom then? How do you receive the kingdom of God? Well, receiving the kingdom involves entering into a relationship of a subject to the king. Receiving the kingdom involves entering into this relationship of subject to king. And that he now becomes our king, and we become his subjects. So as before, we were rebels, we were not loyal to Christ the King, and then by the grace of God, we have entered into this relationship of a subject, a willing, loyal subject to Christ the King. So you receive the kingdom of God when you are willing to be a subject in his kingdom. Are you a willing subject? Then you have received the kingdom. So looking at it more closely, to receive something, of course, is to consent to have something. It is to be willing to have a share in the kingdom of God. To receive the kingdom of God is to accept the kingdom of God, involving this relationship between you and Christ as subject and as king. Christ is the king, you are his subject. So you are willing to accept the kingdom involving that relationship. The kingdom of God is the rule of Christ in the hearts and lives of his people. The question is, are we willing to have Christ rule over us? Are you and I willing to submit to Christ the King? And to receive the kingdom also involves receiving the blessings of the kingdom. Think of that. Do you desire those blessings? Well, some of them you might think, oh, of course I desire those blessings. I wish to escape eternal misery. I don't want my sins to be imputed to me and have to suffer for them forever. So you might think that you desire some of those blessings. But the real question is, do you desire the totality of those blessings? The blessings of the kingdom, not just some of the blessings, but the blessings of the kingdom. Do you desire the kingdom of God and the blessings of the kingdom? You see, we can't enjoy those rights and immunities of the kingdom of God while saying in our hearts, we will not have this man to reign over us. If you are here saying, I don't want to submit to the king, yet you want the blessings of the kingdom. You think you want the blessing of justification, but you don't want to submit to Christ the King, then you have no share in any of those blessings. And besides, some of those blessings do include the grace of purifying. Purifying our hearts by faith in Christ. Christ purifies his people. So if we sincerely desire the blessings of the kingdom, we also desire Christ to be our king, and we desire to be purified by Christ, subduing our sinfulness, conquering our sins. That's taking away the love of sin. Do you wish to have the love of sin taken away? Do you wish that you would have no joy in sinful things? That you would not get any pleasure whatsoever out of sin? That's a great thing, because there are pleasures in sin for a season. But to have that desire to be totally free from indwelling sin, that's a mark of grace. To hate even the delight that you might feel in sinful things, to hate all sin, that is a real desire for the blessings of the kingdom. That's evidence that you're in the kingdom. Are the blessings of the kingdom of God more valuable to us than any earthly blessing we can think of? Do we long to have them? Do we long to receive these blessings? Do we long to have Christ as our King? How do you receive the King? How do you receive the blessings of the kingdom? How do you receive the kingdom of God? Well, Jesus tells us very plainly that we receive the kingdom of God as a little child. And we must receive the rule of Christ and the blessings of salvation as a little child, or else we cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So we need this childlike spirit in order to enter into the kingdom of God. That's the second point, the need of the childlike spirit to enter into the kingdom. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. The need to receive the kingdom of God as a little child, the childlike spirit, is necessary in order to truly receive and enter the kingdom of God. Well, this is very humbling. Who of us naturally wishes to be like a child? Sure, there are times of stress in an adult's life, and he or she might catch himself or herself longing to go back to childhood, be free of all those cares and burdens. But generally, we like to be strong and independent. And are we not constantly told that we need to grow up and we need to mature and believers need to spiritually mature? Well, that is true. And we are to be not like children in certain ways. And we're to avoid that foolish childishness that is characteristic of wayward children, disobedient children, always needing to be corrected, ornery, grumbling, complaining children. We must not be like children in that way, of course. But there are other ways that we should be like children in receiving the kingdom of God. And first of all, we need the childlike dependence on God. That's one of the main ways. That's where we start. This childlike dependence, it comes behind all the other aspects of being like a child in the kingdom of God. And so as little children are weak, and little children, especially infants, are totally helpless, that is how we need to be. We need to see that we are helpless, we are weak, and that we need God's grace. Little children may not know that they're helpless. They may think they're very strong and very independent sometimes, but you have to look at it, first of all, objectively. And the objective dependence of a child on his or her parents is where we start when we think about being like a child in order to enter the kingdom of God. What is objective in the child's condition ought to be subjective in our experience. The child is objectively weak, helpless, and absolutely, totally dependent on the parents. And that's how we need to feel. We need to feel subjectively in our experience what they are in reality, helpless, dependent infants dependent on their parents. That's how we should feel. We should sense that in our experience. And we need to recognize our total helplessness, that we are totally dependent on God's free grace, so that without the grace of God intervening and lifting us up from spiritual and eternal death, we will not be saved. You see, Jesus took up these little children in his arms, and we need to see ourselves as wholly and entirely upheld by God, our Creator, who holds us up every moment with every breath we breathe. But more than that, we need to see ourselves resting, as it were, in the arms of Christ. I'm not saying by that we feel assured we're saved, but that we feel that we have no other hope than that we rest in the arms of Christ. That we're not among those who stand up on their two feet and go forward. They have the feeling that they are dropping into the arms of Christ as their only hope of salvation. So that we come to an end of self. We come to an end of self-help. We are not depending on ourselves any longer, but we are dependent on the mercy of God in Christ. And we feel that if we are not saved by the God of grace and because of the merits of Christ and his Spirit, then there is no hope for us. We feel, if I'm ever going to be saved, if I'm ever going to make it to heaven, it will be owing to the free grace of God in Christ. Is that our feeling? Do we sense that? Not every young convert senses that fully. And he or she may be, when first converted, so full of strength and love, and the feeling of strength and love, I should say, and think they will go on, and then before long they realize they're failing here and there, and they realize they need God's grace every moment, and the only way that they will endure to the end is by God's grace, and they're trusting in God's grace. This is what we need to sense in order to be converted, in order to enter the kingdom of God. We must be like a little child, helpless, dependent upon his or her parents. Children are dependent upon their parents for everything. Not literally, not for breathing and the ability to eat, but to be fed, to be clothed, to be washed. They are dependent upon their parents for all of these things, and so we are to be dependent and feel our dependence upon Christ for the cleansing away of our sins. Do we feel that? Our sins are a burden, and we feel the stain of sin on our consciences, and we need the blood of Christ to wash away our sins. And we need the washing of regeneration to be born again by the power of the Spirit and making us holy, except a man be born again or born of water into the Spirit, except a person experiences the spiritual washing by the power of the Holy Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. We need to be cleansed in our souls. We need to be washed from the stain of guilt by the blood of Christ. We need to be washed from the power of sin by the Holy Spirit. Are we feeling our need of spiritual washing? And also, as children are dependent on their parents to be clothed, to be kept clean and dry and warm, well, we are dependent upon Christ for his righteousness. We have no merit of our own. And if we are to be saved, it must be through the righteousness of another, not our own, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saves us by the righteousness of Christ. Children are dependent on their parents for help, lifting them up out of bed and carrying them from one place to another. We're speaking about very small children, infants. And so we need to see our absolute dependence upon Christ for all the grace that we need to serve him in this world. So we need this childlike dependence upon Christ. And we also need a believing childlike spirit to receive the kingdom of God. To receive the kingdom of God as a little child, we need the simplicity of faith. And we can call this, use a very unusual word to help our memories, credence. So as there is to be dependence, there is to be credence. Credence is simply accepting something to be true. Accepting something to be true, that's credence. Do you have credence? Do you credit the truth of the Bible by believing it's to be true? Not credulity, not just believing anything, not being gullible, not believing anything, everything man teaches us, but believing everything that the Bible teaches us. That's the credence that we need. That's the simplicity of faith that is essential to receiving the kingdom of God as a child. It is implicit faith in Christ and his word. That's truly to be like a little child. Little children don't usually say, perhaps they never say it until they're a certain age, I don't believe that. You don't expect your little toddler to say something like that. They believe every word their parents say. And they are very trusting. They don't question what parents teach them. They don't dispute. They just accept. They accept everything. Everything that the parents tell them, and so must we accept everything that Jesus tells us in his word. We must believe the whole revelation of God. Genesis to Revelation, not questioning anything that is revealed in the word of God. Implicit trust, simple faith, that is credence, accepting it to be true. Everything in the Bible, everything that Jesus says as true. That is the only way that we can receive the kingdom of God and enter into it. And another way we receive the kingdom of God as a little child is by having a teachable and submissive spirit. And we will just categorize this as obedience. There must be obedience to receive the kingdom of God as a child. So there must be dependence, credence, and obedience. Children are easily led and they're easily taught. And we need a teachable spirit, as children are teachable. Their mind is almost like a blank slate, almost. And the slate or the blank sheet is being filled up by the teaching of the parents and by the experiences they have in their homes. So we need, as it were, a blank mind, as it were, a blank mind to receive all the teaching of Christ so that it just shoves out all our previous teaching if it gets in the way. This is very humbling. It's the only way, though, to receive the kingdom of God. Our thoughts and purposes must totally give way to the words and precepts of Christ, just as a little child has a blank slate, as it were, and receives all the teaching without question of the parents. Those who have little toddlers, you don't ever see your little toddler saying, "Why do we have to have family worship? Why do we have to go to church?" No, he or she sees the rest of the family doing it and picks up her Bible and Psalter and turns to the page like everyone else and says amen at the end of the prayer sometimes, happily following the whole family, obeying the parents and learning what is taught, singing and praying with the rest of the family. Well, that's how it should be. That's how it should be spiritually. We're not to take our own way. We are not to bring our own ideas into God's revealed will. And we must never have the attitude that we will submit to the teaching only as far as it shall square with our own notions. But if it doesn't fit with our way of thinking and living, we will reject it. No, that's not the childlike spirit. It's not childlike to accept the teaching of Christ only as long as it agrees with our reason. That's not receiving the kingdom of God as a little child. But to receive the kingdom of God as a little child is to receive all the teaching of Christ with submission, with a teachable spirit. We have to come down from our high pretensions of grown-up rationality and yield with the simplicity of the child to the precious teaching of Christ. We must not attempt, as some people like to do, even in the Christian, professing Christian world, attempt to preserve the autonomy of the human mind. And then, because our reason has determined it to be true, then we accept it and then we yield to Christ and obey him. No. We're to receive the teaching of Christ because it's the teaching of Christ. Because we see the glory of this person. And never man spake as this man. His words are words most sweet and precious and powerful. Some people dismiss parts of the revelation of God. For example, the Trinity, or they dismiss some teaching that it does not fit with their reason, and they will either change it and interpret it in a way that fits with their way of reasoning, or they will simply dismiss the whole revelation because of certain parts of Scripture that do not seem to be rational in their view. But to take the doctrine of the Trinity, for example, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are the same in essence and equal in power and glory. One essence, three persons. There's nothing irrational about it. Of course, to explain it and make it fit with our reason, that's one thing. That may be beyond our ability. But it's another thing to claim it as irrational. It's not irrational. Christianity is not irrational, as some other religions may be. To explain the Trinity, we may not be able, but to show that it's not unreasonable is what we can do. That the persons of the Trinity are three in one way, and they are one in another way. They are one as to their essence, three as to their personhood or persons. One as to essence, three as to their persons. And there are other doctrines such as creation, predestination, God's sovereignty that people, even professing Christians, they dismiss because they can't fit it in with their reason. Or they will either reject it for something else, some other error, or others will just completely dismiss the Christian religion. But we are to receive the kingdom of God as a little child. We are to be willing to be taught, willing to learn, believing the truth, believing why? Believing because it's revealed. It's revealed. That's why we accept it. And that's why we submit to it. And we submit to the need of obedience. The fact that Jesus requires us to obey is something that people, even some Christians, will dismiss. They will say, well, if you teach that the Bible commands us to believe everything and also obey everything that the Bible teaches, and the Bible dictates to us how we should live our lives in every area of our lives, well, that's asking too much. Surely we can use our own minds and our and determine what is best for us. We know better. We're living our lives. We should know what is best for us and how we live our lives. That's what some people say. And the world, perhaps even some of the Christian world, the modern religious world, scoff at the idea that God knows what we need better than we do. It's something that we accept, I hope. God knows indeed what's best for us far better than we ever could. But those who scoff at that idea that God knows us better than we do, he knows our circumstances better than we do, he knows what's best for us and what we ought to do, what is right for us, he knows that better than we do. The world scoffs at that, and they are far removed from the childlike spirit that Jesus teaches us we must have in order to enter the kingdom of God. A parent certainly knows far better than a child what is good for the little one. A child would eat what? Only sweet food, non-nutritious food sometimes, but the parent knows best. The child might go to a hornet's nest and start playing around, but the parent knows best. And the parent will keep the child safe, and the child will submit to those instructions, at least when they are acting as they should do. So we must yield to the teaching of Christ. We must submit to the commandments of Christ. Jesus told his servants in Matthew 28, "Go into all the world, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever." That word whatsoever means just what it says. Whatsoever I have commanded you. Who of us is going to go to Jesus and say, no, I'm not going to obey everything that thou dost command me. I'm going to believe the teaching, but I'm going to determine how I'm going to live my life in one area. I have autonomy. I'm going to dictate to myself and my own family what I think is right, but I'm not going to submit to Christ, the head of the church, who has told us to observe all things whatsoever he has commanded us. Surely none of us would say that. But are our hearts saying that? Do our hearts say, we will not have this man to reign over us? We must be like Mary, who sat at the feet of Jesus, hearing his word. She was a submissive disciple. She had a teachable spirit. She was ready to learn, ready to obey. We need to be like the psalmist David in Psalm 131, who said, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty. Are our eyes lofty? Are our hearts haughty? Oh, we would never say it with our words, but in our hearts we're saying, do I really have to submit to this command? Do I really need to learn this teaching? Do I really have to accept it just because Jesus said it? Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. They're so high. How dare I think I can figure it all out? I'm just a puny man in the sight of the infinite being. And Jesus Christ, the head of the church, who is Lord of all, who am I to think that I can only accept teaching of Christ that fits with my reason? Of course, we are to seek to grow in knowledge. And that is how you grow in grace, when you grow in knowledge, not just head knowledge, but experimental knowledge and acquaintance with the ways of Christ and being near to him and having communion with him. All that is revealed in the Word of God should be the object of our desire to learn. But what is not revealed to us is too high for us. That's clear. We're not to pry into things that are not revealed. And even things that are beyond our ability to totally explain, some things in the Word of God are above our reason to comprehend, we must accept and adore without complaining that we cannot fully grasp it. We must accept without questioning. And without that, without this acceptance, this credence, where is the childlike spirit? Where is this desire to be what Jesus teaches us to be? We have to be like a child to receive the kingdom of God. He teaches that. And to accept that and then turn around and say, well, I'm going to have to figure it all out and then I'll accept it, the particular teaching of Christ here and there, that is contrary to the duty to receive the kingdom of God as a little child. David says, in back to Psalm 131, verse 2, surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. A weaned child is submissive. The weaned child has learned when to stop, as she's weaned or he is weaned from his or her mother. But some of us, we don't know when to stop. We haven't learned it. We haven't learned to submit. We're not as a weaned child. We want more of this. We want more of that. We're not content with what God has given us. We're not content with what God has revealed to us in his word. And we're not like David, who did not exercise himself in great matters or in things too high for him. There may be a desire that we have to suppress, learn things that are beyond our reason or things that are not profitable, studying or searching into false religions or ideology and philosophy just out of fascination with it, without a purpose to glorify God and be useful to others, and to needlessly pry into these things that are irrelevant to us and others, is to dally with Satan's lies. And as the Puritans would say, it is to tempt the devil to tempt us. Going in his direction is actually persuading him to come over here and tempt us further. We must not tempt the devil to tempt us by dallying with temptations. We need a childlike spirit. And that includes, as we've been saying, dependence, credence, and obedience. And we can add one other, and that is deference, deferring to others. Now, this is all under the grace of humility. It is humble to be dependent. It is humble to accept because Jesus said it, not because we have determined it's right. It is humble to obey every word and command of Christ. It is humble, it is humbling, it is humility to defer to others. But this is exactly what Jesus teaches us in his word. As you know, when the disciples were speaking to one another, and they even came to Jesus with the question, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Matthew chapter 18, verse 1. So why do they want to know who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Well, there must have been pride behind it. And it's natural to us. Who's the leader? Where's the independent thinker? Who's the most important man in this group? That's so natural to us. But Jesus, he called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. They were debating who's going to be the greatest. But Jesus says, you all need to be like this little child. You should be deferring to others. There should be deference, deferring to others. Thinking others to be better than yourself, as Paul says it in Philippians chapter 2. And in this way, he's saying you need to be truly converted. You need to be further sanctified. If there is no effort and desire and endeavor to be further purified from all this envy, strife, and tendency to seek to be the greatest, if there's no effort and desire and endeavor to be more sanctified, you're giving proof that you never were converted. You need to be converted. You need to be free of rankling others and free of a controversial and competitive spirit. I know that we can't be sinless and free of every sin, but there should be the desire and the effort to be free of these passions. Seek that love and fellowship which characterize God's people. Now, this is the childlike spirit that we need. It is the opposite of ambition, the opposite of proud self-importance, the opposite of divisiveness and being schismatic and causing division. Who's the greatest, Peter or Judas? What about James and John? Aren't they important too? None of that. We must be converted, be like little children. And whosoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child. Oh, that is the most solemn word that we have before us just now. That unless we have this childlike spirit that makes us able to consent to the sovereign rule of Christ, unless we have a childlike spirit that prepares us to receive the blessings of the kingdom of God with this dependence, credence, obedience, deference, unless we have this, we can't be the true subjects of the kingdom of God. We need these graces in order to be truly loyal to Christ. We need these graces to truly appreciate and value the blessings of the kingdom of God. We need this childlike spirit, because if we don't have it, we are in danger of never entering the kingdom of God. In the third place, the warning of not entering into the kingdom of God. Verily, I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. Verily is literally amen. When you say amen at the end of the prayers, do you know what you're saying? Of course, we know that you're not just saying it's finished, I finished praying. You're saying amen, which means so let it be. In testimony of our desire and assurance to be heard, we say amen. We desire these things, amen, so let it be. And we are assured, because God is a hearer of prayer, he will give us these things that we ask for. Jesus is saying, amen. I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. This is how it is. This is how it will be. So let it be. Whosoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it. He's saying, I solemnly declare unto you. Jesus is telling us the truth. He confirms it with an amen, and therefore we must give it serious attention. I say unto you, Jesus says this. We must believe it because he said it. I say unto you, not because you have determined that we need a childlike spirit because it fits with your reason. Verily, I say unto you. Jesus has spoken. He's the king. Jesus has spoken. He's the king of kings. And what he says then applies to everyone, whosoever. Whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. So it doesn't matter who you are. Every single individual in this little group this Sabbath morning needs to be listening carefully. Doesn't matter who you are, what you have professed, what you have done, you're standing in the church or you're no standing in the church. If you do not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, you will not enter. You'll not enter. You may try, but you won't enter. You may try to get through the window spiritually. You might try some other way, but you will not enter. It's impossible to receive and accept and consent to the king and the kingdom and the blessings of the kingdom without a childlike spirit. Well, for one thing, your pride will prevent you. You'll be proud and say, well, I will meet the Lord halfway. I will listen to some of his teaching, but I will bring my own notions too. No. Your own reason will get in the way when you feel that you will accept the teaching and commandments as long as it fits with your reason. Your reason will get in the way. You will not enter. Or the lusts of earthly things will get in the way. And without a childlike spirit and say, I'm ready to receive whatever Jesus gives me. I'm determined by his grace to exclude from my life those things that he forbids. If we don't have this attitude, then the lusts of other things will choke out the word, make us unfruitful, and prove that we never entered into the kingdom. So we need a childlike spirit that is removed from pride and autonomy and independence overvalue of earthly things, childlike dependence on Christ to receive the kingdom of God, or else we will not enter. Will not enter. The words are firm and emphatic. It literally, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. It's the very same words that are found in the wonderful promise of John chapter 6, verse 37. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Literally, it is, I will not cast out. It's the same construction, the same word order and very words in our text. And it's the same two words that are used in the parallel passage in Luke chapter 18, verse 17, the very same words, but translated in different English words. Luke 18, verse 17, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as little child shall in no wise enter therein. That means he will not at all enter. He will not enter into the slightest into the kingdom of God. Doesn't matter what they have previously attained to. But if the person does not have a childlike spirit in receiving the kingdom of God, that person shall never enter. That person will be shut out. Never enter. Never have Christ as king and friend. Never have Christ as their protector and defender. Never enjoy the blessings of the kingdom of God, the blessings of salvation. Never be pardoned and treated as friends, but always be treated as rebels and excluded and shut out of the realm of his kingdom. They will never be provided for and accepted, but all privileges will be denied, all immunities taken away, and nothing but the blackness of darkness forever and ever for those who do not receive the kingdom of God as a little child. Whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child by dependence upon Christ's righteousness. If we hold on to our own righteousness for acceptance of God, with God, we will not be accepted. We cannot enter into the kingdom of God when we're holding on to our own righteousness and say, I am good enough for God to accept me the way I am. Oh no, we will be excluded forever. Those who do not have the childlike obedience will not enter into the kingdom of God. There might be some professing Christians and they assure you, oh, I love the Lord. I love Jesus. I go to church, I read the Bible, I love Jesus. But just take my word for it. I don't have to obey everything that's in the Bible. I can make up my own mind. No, that's not the childlike spirit. Without this childlike obedience, your claim to love the Lord Jesus is false. How emphatic are his words. Whoever that person is, let's say it's a scientist, and he's an atheist, a former atheist. Now he says, well, at last I've discovered that evolution is false. I will be a Christian now. Ah, but scientist, do you have the childlike spirit? Why should I have that? I figured it all out myself. You shall not enter into the kingdom of God. You may be the greatest philosopher that ever lived, and you may have a very sophisticated mind, and that you have determined Christianity to be true just based on reason. Because you've put it all together, you've analyzed it, and now you know because it makes sense, and you've put it all together, and it fits with your rational way of thinking, and you come to the conclusion Christianity is true just based on reason. And yet, you lack this simple faith in Christ's word and teaching, and you lack this humble dependence upon him as a little child, helpless and weak. Without the childlike spirit, your reason, no matter how precise, will not bring you into the kingdom of God. You need a teachable spirit by the Holy Spirit. You need the dependent spirit. By God's grace, ye are saved, and not of works, lest any man should boast. You need the obedient frame of heart, as Saul of Tarsus, this famous rabbi, brought down to his knees and said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Here's the blank sheet. Lord, write upon it what thou would have me to do, and that's what I will do by thy grace. So, the word of God and the teaching of Christ exclude the rationalist, the agnostic, the skeptic, because unless they repent and believe, they will not enter the kingdom of God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. The Holy Scriptures makes us wise unto salvation. And the simplest child who sees the preciousness of Christ and is willing to submit to his teaching and obey his precepts is wiser than the greatest philosopher who ever lived, but is still guided only by the light of reason. We need the willing mind of Christ. We need the teachable attitude. Is this your desire, friend? Is it my desire? If the Lord has given us this childlike dependence, this credence, obedience, deference, at least in our desires and endeavors, feeling the need of it, acknowledging it with our soul, how thankful we should be that he has brought us to an end of self. If he has convinced us and converted us so that by grace we have received the kingdom and we're willing subjects of Christ the King and we desire the blessings of salvation above all other earthly blessings, how comforting it is to know that he did it. He brought it to pass. And therefore, he will bring us through to the end. And we should cherish that childlike spirit every day of our lives, this dependence, credence, obedience, and deference, and seek more of that childlike spirit, more and more to be manifest in our hearts and lives, because it's the rule of Christ in the heart and life of every believer. And the Lord's people will put their amen to it, as Jesus says, verily, amen, Lord Jesus, this is how it should be. Grant it to me more and more, the childlike spirit, to receive and remain in the kingdom of God. And if we have not been brought to this condition, how we should pray for it earnestly. Pray for this condition of soul. It's the work of the Holy Spirit to make us childlike receivers of the kingdom of God. Pray for a sense of helplessness. It's humbling. We don't want to feel helpless. It's scary. We need to feel our helplessness. We need to see ourselves as the infant polluted in her own blood. None I pity thee, to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee, but thou wast cast out in the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. All the common means of care and love were absent. But God speaks to the infant, and when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Pray that the Lord would speak to your soul, live, and cry. If you know what infants do, you know that they cry. And cry to him as the psalmist in Psalm 119, verse 145, which we sang. Cry to him, I'm nothing but a poor sinner. May Jesus be my all in all. Wash me, clothe me, feed me. Purify me by thy Holy Spirit. I fall into thy arms helpless. I have destroyed myself, but in thee is my help. May the Lord bless his word. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, thou knowest our weakness far better than we could ever. Oh, that we would be conscious of it, that we are absolutely dependent upon thy power, even with every heartbeat, and how much more are we dependent upon thy Spirit to be truly converted. Even thy people will have to say, if it were not for thy grace, thy Holy Spirit coming with sovereign power, they would be like others going on in worldliness and sin. But may thy name be praised. Thou hast a people that thou hast called out of darkness into thy marvelous light. Lord, lift up thy light on us, each one, with saving grace and power, making sin a reality and burden to us, and Christ precious to our souls, that by grace we would close with him as our Savior, and that his blood would wash us, and his Spirit would cleanse our souls and make us holy, giving us a desire and endeavor after holiness. Hear us, O Lord, forgive and accept us for Jesus' sake. Amen.